If you would, please be opening your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalm 46 is where we will be taking the text for the lesson this morning. This particular psalm is one of the psalms that was written by someone other than King David. This was written by the sons of Korah, who were the musicians of David's household, or of David's palace, if you want to call them that. There are a number of the psalms that are found in the book of Psalms that were written by the sons of Korah, but this is among them. And the theme of this particular psalm is the refuge of God. Or, maybe more aptly put, God is our refuge. As we go through, we're going to examine this particular psalm this morning. And as we go through and look at this particular psalm, we want to see what it is that the psalmist here records about the refuge that we can find in God. Now, there are many occasions throughout our lives where we find ourselves in trouble, where we find ourselves having to face things or having to deal with certain issues, deal with certain maladies or certain problems in life. And we need to be ones who are confident in where we turn. Many people go through life and they deal with these struggles and they deal with these problems feeling like they have no one to turn to. They have no place that they can go for refuge. The term refuge means simply sanctuary or safety, a place of protection. One of my instructors in the School of Preaching defined refuge as a strong fortress into which one may flee for safety. This psalm is one that was given to show to whom we can go when we need a place of safety, when we need someone to watch out for us and to take care of us. Where do we go? We're going to go through and we're going to read the entire psalm, all 11 verses first, and then we'll come back and we'll break it down into its principal parts. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As we examine the refuge that God is for us, we want to break this particular psalm down into three parts. The first part is found in verses 1 through 3. Now, as you'll see at the end of verse 3 and at the end of verse 7 in this particular psalm, there, and actually at the end of verse 11 as well, there is a word that is used. It is the Hebrew word, Selah. It is used throughout the psalms, and it simply means a break or a pause. That's why I didn't read that word as we were going through and reading the psalm. It is not necessarily a word that is a part of the psalm, but it is simply meant to indicate where there should be a break or a pause of thought. And so as we break down this psalm, each section is broken down by that term, Selah. In verses 1 through 3, we have the first section of the psalm. And the emphasis of this section is that God's refuge provides confidence. We have in God a place that we can know we can go for safety. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, the psalmist says. He is our sanctuary. He is our place of safety. He is the place where our strength lies. At the times where we are weak, at the times where we are feeble, the times where we are facing overwhelming odds, there is one place we can go to find safety and courage and strength. That is with God. He is a very present help in time of trouble. The idea of very present help is the idea that He's always there. There's never going to be a time where man is going to look to God and God is not going to be there. Where God is going to have disappeared. He's going to have just kind of disregarded us, not cared about us anymore, not worried about us any longer, but rather, no matter when, no matter how desperate, how full of despair we may be, we can always look to God and He will always be there. God is certainly the one to whom we should go for refuge. In Psalm 61, or 62 rather, the psalmist would write in verses 7 and 8, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." We should be those who recognize the refuge that we have in God. You know, you look back through the times of Scripture, and you find that in the Garden of Eden, you have Adam who, after they have committed the sin in the garden, he goes and he hides from God. He seeks refuge from God instead of refuge in God. You think concerning Jonah and how that Jonah was one who was told to go to the city of Nineveh and to proclaim the gospel to them, to call upon them to repent. What does he do? Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes and he boards a ship to Tarshish, going the opposite direction. And instead of looking to God for refuge, instead of looking to God to be that place where that strength comes from, he instead looks for refuge from God, looking for a place to hide from God. We don't need to be the type of people who are seeking refuge from God, but instead we should be ones who are looking for our place of refuge, our place of safety, our place of strength and of comfort and of help in God. Come down to verses 2 and 3. Because we have that refuge, because we have that strength, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. When we recognize and when we accept that God is our refuge, that He is the one to whom we go, He is the place where we go for strength and for comfort and for safety, then what we find is, we don't have anything to be afraid of. We don't have anything to be fearful of. But instead, we can be confident that we have someone watching out for us, taking care of us. The problems and the troubles of this life as great as they may be and as terrible as they may be, depending on the situation and depending on the time, should never be ones that cause us to turn to fear or to turn to terror as the answer. But instead to recognize and have confidence in the fact that God is still with us. God still loves us. He still cares about us and He's still watching over us. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7, and he'd say, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We're not to be those who give in to fear. Are there going to be things that cause us to have fear? Sure there are. But we cannot let that fear consume us and overwhelm us. But rather, we must maintain our confidence in the fact that God is watching over us. He is taking care of us. John would write in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse number 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." When we love God, when we recognize God as our refuge, when we look to God for strength and for comfort, we won't have that fear. Doesn't mean that there won't be things that come up that won't cause us to have fear for a time. But that fear will not consume us. That fear will not dictate our actions. We won't be driven by it. You go back to verses 2 and 3. And he talks about that it doesn't matter whether the earth be removed. The word there, removed, means in the Hebrew language to change. It doesn't matter whether the earth be changed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. In other words, if everything on this earth starts going wrong, if the earth starts turning upside down, as it were, everything that you thought you knew and everything that you trusted in and had your confidence in, that it was there, that it was stable, that it was steady, if everything falls apart, God is still there. God is still our comfort and our strength. The one to whom we can go, no matter what the problem may be, no matter how deep the trial, no matter how great the fear, He is always there. You turn over to Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." There is nothing that God does not care about when it comes to us. There is nothing that we will face that God will not help us with, that God will not be there for us as we deal with. That doesn't mean that everything's just going to magically go away overnight and we're not going to have to deal with it anymore. No. There is strength and comfort and safety that can be found in the things that God's Word says, in the things that God has done, in who God is and the promises that He has made to us. Such as Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 28, where Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." We have in God a place that we can go. A place that we can go, someone we can go to with full confidence that He loves us, that He cares about us, and that He is always there for us. No matter how bad things get, no matter how much we face. In the second place, not only does God's refuge provide confidence, but verses 4 through 7 tells us that God's refuge provides protection. Verse 4 we read, "There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. When we look to God as our refuge, He will stand with us against all enemies. Now, in verses 4 and 5, he's talking about the protection of Jerusalem. I find it very interesting that God is described in verses 4 and 5 as a river running through Jerusalem, watering her, taking care of her, seeing to her needs, that God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, and God shall help her. God is going to protect His people. God is going to take care of His servants. He's going to watch out for them. He is going to protect them from all ills. Now, does that mean that when it comes to the child of God, nothing bad is ever going to happen? No, as a matter of fact, Paul would make the statement in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. God isn't saying that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. But you know, there is one thing that it was stated over and over again by our Lord when it came to the relationship that man has with God and the refuge that God presents. When you turn over to John chapter 10, in John chapter 10, Jesus would state in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus here makes a statement. It's been misconstrued and it's been misinterpreted by some in the religious world over the years, but the statement's truth does not change. Jesus says, if you are one of mine, if you are one of my sheep, if you are one of my people, I'll look out for you and protect you. I will hold you in my hand, and no man will be able to pluck you out of it. Now, some have taken these particular passages and they've inscribed them to mean that Jesus says, once you're saved, there's nothing you can do to be lost. It's not what He says. Jesus says that once you are in a right relationship with Him, no one is going to be able to force you out against your will. Nobody's going to be able to just say, I want Him out, and take you out, and you don't want to go. You see, in Christ, we have protection. We have protection from Satan. We have protection from those things that come against us, which would seek to take away not just our physical well-being, but our spiritual well-being as well. You see, we have a protection that only stops when we decide to leave the refuge. When we decide to leave that safety and that sanctuary. As long as we remain with God, as long as we look to Him and remain with Him, there's nothing that can get to us. It is only when we leave. It's only when we decide we're going to step out on our own, or you know, it's really not that bad. I can, as it were, go outside for a little while. Nothing's going to bother me. How many times do we read the stories, or maybe see it in the movies or whatnot? How that when there's danger on the outside and everybody is holed up, whether it be in the castle or in the fortress or maybe it's in a house or whatever the case is, and there's all the danger going around on the outside, And inevitably, there's that one fool who says, you know what? I'm not worried about it. We're just going to go out for a few minutes and then we'll be right back in. And sure enough, they never make it back. As long as they were inside, they were fine. They were safe. Anybody force them to go out? No. Same holds true with us spiritually. When we are inside the refuge of God, when we are looking to Him, when we're allowing Him to guide us, Him to watch out for us, and Him to take care of us, there's nothing that can get to us. Oh yes, they may be able to harm the physical body, and we may not have all the riches and wealth that this world has to offer, but we'll have everything that's important in this life. It's when we choose to step outside that safety, to no longer make God our refuge, but as it were, to take our life in our own hands, that we fall, that we perish. God's refuge provides protection. When you turn over back to verses 6 and 7, he says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and yet he uttered his voice and the earth melted. There is not a force, there is not a power on the face of this earth that is greater than God. And yet how often do we let the things of this earth become greater in our own minds? Become more powerful, become more prominent, become more influential than God. If God is our refuge, we recognize that He is our protection. And the only place we look is to Him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then in the third place, God's refuge provides confidence. God's refuge provides protection. But then in verses 8 through 11, we find that God's refuge is complete. In verse 8 he says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariot in the fire. Now we recognize that this is at a time where God is watching over and is protecting and is looking out for the children of Israel as a nation and as a people, that He goes to battle on their behalf, that He fights with them and for them. There's no battle that can't be won with God. Isn't that the lesson of Gideon? How that Gideon will take 300 men into battle against thousands of the enemy. He starts out with an army of thousands and God says it's too big. They're going to think they did it all by themselves. They don't need God. He whittles his army down to 300, and then even then, God is the one who does the work. God is the one who has the ability to overcome any problem, any battle that we face. His refuge is complete. It covers every facet of life. There is nothing that we face wherein we can say, you know, God wasn't ready for this. God doesn't know how to handle this. God doesn't care enough to watch out for me through this. You see, the refuge that we have in God is complete. It covers everything. It may cover national crises. It may cover personal issues. It may cover health problems. It may cover family issues. It could cover anything. When we look to God, when we allow Him to be the place that we go to, the one to whom we turn for strength and for comfort and for refuge, for safety, doesn't matter the problem. The answer is found with God. And thus you have the statement in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, when it comes to fighting against God. The Hebrews writer says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." If there's one place you don't ever want to be, it's on the other end of God's refuge. Because if you're fighting against God and His people as they are looking to Him for protection and for strength and for comfort, you're going to lose. And then you come to verses 10 and 11, where He says, "Be still and know that I am God." One of the greatest oversights that many times we have in our lives is not in so much knowing that God is there, but oftentimes the problem is we just don't take the time to stop and remember that He's there. There are times in our lives, there are things that we face, there are problems that come up where we just have to stop. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes in order for us to take advantage of the refuge of God, we have to stop and remember that there is a refuge to be found. We get so caught up in the fast pace of this life and all of the different things that we need to do, and then some problem hits us, something blindsides us that we weren't expecting or that we weren't looking for, and we weren't ready for it. And what do? We try to fight the problem head on, first of all. And then oftentimes we try to clutter every little ounce of extra time and of extra energy into something else so that we don't have to stop and think about what the problem is. And yet if we're going to look to God as our refuge, when those times come, the first thing we need to do is stop. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We need to be those who, when, you know, the old adage is, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's not true. As God's people, our philosophy should be, when the going gets tough, we stop and look to God. That should be our approach. That should be our attitude. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God cares about His people. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9. What was it that Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is our refuge. At least He should be if we have our confidence and our trust in Him the way we should. He is the one to whom we can go no matter what we face in this life. He is the place of safety. He is the sanctuary from the evils and the terrors of this world. He is the strength to guide us through times of weakness. He is our God. Are we serving Him the way we should? Are we living for Him the way we must? If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, we would plead with you to make Him your refuge. By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, confessing Christ before men and being immersed in water to have your sins washed away, will you allow God to be your place of safety? Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've not been willing to stay in the house. You've not been willing to stay in the safety of the refuge of God, but instead you've decided to venture out on your own. Will you come back before it's too late? If there's any way that we can assist you this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?